all of which leads Memucan to his ultimate solution. If it pleases the king, let a royal edict be issued by him, and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media, so that it cannot be repealed, that Vashti should come no more into the presence of King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is more worthy than she. Esther chapter 1, verse 19. So here's the outcome. Memucan wanted this edict written into the laws of the Medes and the Persians. The law which can never be changed. In that way, his suggestion would affect far more than Vashti. It would have a direct effect on everyone's marriage. But if it was an attempt to get the women of Persia to have greater respect for their husbands, it was a strange way to make that happen. Right about now, you're probably thinking, what in the world does all of this have to do with righteous things? And where does Esther come into all of this? All we've got so far is a huge gathering at a banquet, and a drunken king, and more than 6 months of revelry, and the blatant display of carnal appetites by a bunch of insecure, frustrated men, and, wait a minute, remember what we said at the beginning? God not only moves in mysterious ways, he moves in mundane days. It may seem otherwise, but his hand is not removed from this or any other scene. If you don't believe me, just look at the final outcome of Memucan's suggestion. And let the king give her royal position to another who is more worthy than she. Esther chapter 1, verse 19. If I may cut to the chase, four words will suffice. Exit Vashti, enter Esther. What you have to keep in mind is that Esther doesn't have the foggiest idea that any of this is going on. She knows nothing of the events transpiring in the royal palace. She also knows nothing yet about this royal edict, which will set events in motion that will totally change her own life. Esther is going about her no big deal business, living her life, greeting the sunrise of each ordinary morning, carrying out her day-to-day responsibilities. Is she in for a surprise? This is the wonder of God's sovereignty. Working behind the scenes, he is moving and pushing and rearranging events and changing minds until he brings out even the most carnal and secular of settings, a decision that will set his perfect plan in place. We see that here, and we'll see it throughout the story of Esther. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that God is asleep when it comes to nations, or that he is out of touch when it comes to carnal banquets, or that he sits in heaven wringing his hands when it comes to godless rulers and foolish presidents who make unfair, rash, or stupid decisions. Mark it down in permanent ink. God is always at work. But his ways are so different from ours, we quickly jump to fallacious conclusions and either react rashly or get paralyzed in panic. Take a deep breath right now as you read the timeless reminder of Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. Now, look at the rest of Memucan's ideas for the king, and remember what I said about the agenda behind his radical suggestions. And when the king's edict, which he shall make, is heard throughout all his kingdom, great as it is, then all women will give honor to their husbands, great and small. And this word pleased the king and the princes, and the king did as Memucan proposed. So he sent letters to all the king's provinces, to each province according to its script, and to every people according to their language, that every man should be the master in his own house, and the one who speaks in the language of his own people. Esther chapter 1, verses 20 and through 22. Make no mistake about it. I'm all for submission, as long as it's the biblical kind of submission. And I'm certainly in favor of the husband's being the leader of the home, as long as he is God's kind of leader, set forth in Scripture, not some extreme, self-serving, and humiliating concept of leadership and submission. I'm all for the roles God has set forth for husbands and wives in His Word. I believe in them, and I declare them every chance I get. But husbands, we don't get obedience by fiat. We don't bring about submission by legislation, and certainly not from some king whose own home and harem is in an uproar. Nevertheless, the edict goes out, and the plan begins to unfold.